Again, I think previously also, I think a couple of months ago, I spoke a similar class on, it was the same chapter, same canto also, third canto. And this conversation is happening between Viduraji and Maitreya Muni. But let us actually, you know, dwell a bit, you can say, deeper into how this conversation or this this whole occasion or this whole situation came into picture. So, Vidurarji, as you know, was the prime minister of the Kuru dynasty. He was actually one of the brothers for the king, but because he was born in a different Varna, so that's why he was actually the prime minister. He was not eligible to be the king. And it's said that when the Kurukshetra war was about to happen, Viduraji had tried a lot to actually avoid the war of Mahabharata. He was again and again going towards Dhritarashtra, and he was telling him that, look, Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality himself, is on the Pandava side. So there's no chance that you're going to win this war. So please, like, you know, just give the rightful share to the Pandavas. Because otherwise, it says in the Bhagavatam or in Sanskrit, Vansha. The word Vansha means bamboos, actually. So just like a wind will create friction among the bamboo trees and it creates fire and the whole forest fires, gets burnt. Similarly, this dispute of kingdom is like that fire and is going to actually burn the entire Kuru dynasty. So be aware, be awake, and just do the rightful. But Dhritarashtra, as he will listen, he will adhere, he will accept. But his attachment to his son was in such a deep manner that as soon as Vidura leaves, he would still come back to the same mood of Dhritarashtra. The word Dhritarashtra means somebody who is holding on the Dhrit and Rashtra, like holding on to the kingdom. So Viduraji thought that's enough, you know. So one day he actually went inside the kingdom, in the royal palace, and he's in front of the whole assembly hall, in front of Duryodhan, all the 100 sons, and all the, you can say, Kuru dynasty big ministers and commanders in chief and army generals. He just spoke the truth. He said, look, this son of yours is actually sin personified. So please, Dhritarashtra, please, my brother, please, you know, just do the rightful. Just give the share to the Pandavas. And when this was being spoken, obviously Duryodhana, as the personality he is, he said, who allowed this Dasiputra, this low-class man, to come here in the assembly of kings? Just throw him out of here. And Viduraji just folded his hands and he accepted his fate. He said, the material energy is very powerful, I can't do anything. And he should leave the kingdom only with his breath, nothing else. So when Viduraji heard this, he kept his bow and arrow. It was a symbol that I am leaving this kingdom, and because you have offended me, please don't think that I'm going to join the Pandavas. I'm leaving my bow and arrow here. I'm leaving all my weapons here. I'm not going to take part in this war. I'm not going to side anyone in this war. And he left it and he just went. And it said in the Bhagavatam, the first canto, 13 chapter 10th, it says, Bhavat vidha bhagavatam tirtha bhuta swayam vibhu tirthi kurvanti tirthani swanta stena gadhabrita. It means like, as soon as Viduraji, actually he left all the punya or all the, you can say, the pious activities of the Kauravas, it was left. And when, after doing the parikrama of all the holy places, when he comes on to, hears the news that this great war, Mahabharata war, has taken place and the entire Kuru dynasty has been finished. Only a handful of people have been left now, Kripacharya, than Dhritarashtra. Then he felt really, you can just imagine the mood of this person, that he was offended, he was disrespected, but still he thought, I must actually save my brother. And he still goes back to the assembly of the Kauravas, not the assembly of the Kauravas, but back to Hastinapur, when Yudhishthira Maharaj is the king. And as soon as Yudhishthira Maharaj sees him, and the whole family sees him, he wanted to benefit Dhritarashtra, because he knew that Dhritarashtra, the personality he is still attached to the kingdom. So even if his Yudhishthira, king as Yudhishthira, he will still hold on. So he didn't want a very bad destination for his brother. So he still chose to come back. And as soon as Yudhishthira sees him, he says, you are like Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibhu. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is speaking to Vidurji. He says, because you are carrying the holy, the Supreme Personality within your heart, so you are actually a Tirtha himself. You are the holy dham, a walking holy dham. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. You are actually going and purifying the dhams. There's a pastime in the Bhagavatam when Bhagirath Ji wanted Ganges, Mother Ganges, to come to the earthly realm. So Mother Ganges said, look, I don't want to come. First of all, when I'll be flowing from Akash, when I'll be flowing from the heavenly, or you can say from the transcendental abode, the pressure of my force will be so intense that I'm just going to break open the earthly realm, and I'm just going to flow towards the Patala. And secondly, all the sinful people will come and bathe in me. They're going to actually leave all their sin inside my waters. So I don't want that, you know. Then Bhagirath Ji, in response, he replied. He said, he actually convinced Lord Shiva that Lord Shiva, as the name Gangadhar. So Lord Shiva actually took, when Mother Ganges was flowing from the transcendental abode, he took Mother Ganges on his head, so that the intensity is kind of pacified and it becomes more subtle. At the same time, Bhagirath Ji said, look, there'll be a situation when all the sinful people will come and bathe in you, but all the Vaishnavas and all the devotees of the Lord are also going to come and bathe in you. And when they will bathe in you, they will again purify you. So similarly, Viduraji is he's one of those personalities who is actually wandering around to purify the dham himself. And let's speak about the qualities of the speaker, because this conversation, it was first started with Uddhavaji. So this conversation was meant to happen with Uddhavaji, but later on, it was Maitreya Muni who was answering all these questions. So who is Uddhava? I just want to ask the devotees present here. Who is Uddhava? Krishna's cousin, yes. And in terms of devotion, like as devotees, he holds a very special place. Yes, yes. At the same time, he was the last remaining Yadava. And the Lord has had, personally entitled him to carry the knowledge, to share the knowledge, because everybody else had left. So he was personally assigned. And when it comes to the qualities of Uddhava, as a child, he would hear the pastime of the Supreme Personality, and he made a deity in his own chambers or in his own room, and he will offer flowers. A small child, the mother will come and ask Uddhava, Uddhava, it's time for your dinner, it's time for your lunch. So Uddhava is busy, he's a small child who is busy serving the deity. And he's always, infused in hearing this, the pastimes of the Supreme Personality. And now the same personality in his matured stage, after the whole, the war has taken place, the destruction of Dwarka has taken place, he's actually, meeting Viduraji. And this great conversation is about to begin in the third canto. And as soon as Viduraji asks this question, just thinking about the Supreme Personality, because Vidura didn't ask directly. He asked, how are the Kauravas? How are the Yadavas? How is Dhritarashtra? How is Bhishma? He's indirectly asking, even though he knew that the war had finished all of the Kuru dynasty and the Yadavas, still he was asking. And just remembering, when Uddhavaji was just remembering the Supreme Personality, he just goes into this samadhi. He's unable to speak anything. And this knowledge, which was given to Uddhava, it was given from the Supreme Personality himself. Can anybody answer, like, how the situation came when the Supreme Personality had to actually personally give the knowledge to Uddhava? Yeah. Exactly. That's where the knowledge was given. And it says that after the dissolution had happened, because Uddhavaji was the most qualified of the Vaishnavas, so the Lord had said, look, Dwarka is going to be destroyed and all the Yadavas, there's going to be a massive, you can say, fight between the Yadavas because they had drunk the Varuni Madra, and all the Yadavas are going to be annihilated. But I want you to personally go to Badrik Ashram and give this knowledge, share this knowledge which I'm going to speak, the Bhagavatam itself or the Uddhav Gita, to the rishis, because there'll be no one, you know, as Sri Krishna says, evam parampara praptam evam rajasya vishu. So this knowledge has to go through disciplic succession. So I want you, Uddhava, to go to Badrik Ashram and share this knowledge. And when it comes to the knowledge, the Supreme Personality is saying in the third canto, 4th chapter, 13th verse, he says, Pura maya proktam ajaya nabhye padme nishanya mamadi sarge jananam param man mahibhavasam yat surayo bhagavatam vadanti. Pura maya proktam, this knowledge was spoken by me, ajaya nabhye, to Lord Brahma himself, Padme Nishanya, who is situated in the lotus from my navel. And then at the end he will say, Yat Surayo Bhagavatam Vadanti. Yat Surayo, all the devotees, all the Vaishnavas, they Vadanti, they refer to this knowledge as Bhagavatam. So Supreme Personality, I mean, just imagine Viduraji, topmost devotee, Uddhavaji, the final disciple of Lord Shri Krishna. And this knowledge itself is Bhagavatam or the Uddhav Gita. So this conversation was happening, and Uddhavaji, he said, look, when the Supreme Personality was giving this knowledge, I was not the only person present. There was Maitreya Muni also who was present. And because he is senior to me, I would like you to ask all these questions to Maitreya Muni himself. So this question of what we just read here, please describe how many dissolutions are there for the elements of material nature, and who survives the dissolution to serve the Lord while he is asleep. Is actually, this conversation was meant to happen between Viduraji and Uddhavaji, but Uddhavaji said, no, please ask these questions to Maitreya Muni. And Maitreya Muni also, there's a very interesting verse from the 3rd canto, 4th chapter, 10th verse. It says, Tasya anukratasya munir mukunda pramoda bhavanta kandarasya. That means, it says, when the Supreme Personality was sharing this knowledge, tasya anukratasya, Maitreya Muni was so attached, anukratasya munir mukunda, Muni, Maitreya, he was so attached to Mukunda, pramoda bhavanata kandarasya. With the bliss, when he was just hearing this knowledge, he just went into such a bliss. When he was hearing this knowledge from the Supreme Personality, he went into such a blissful state that his head dropped, his shoulders dropped, and he kind of like went into this samadhi. Again, it says, Janasya Krishna Vimukasya Devat Anugrahayena Charanti Nunam. So, again, glorifying Maitreya Muni, it says, just to Janasya Krishna Vimukhasya Devad, all the personalities who are Vimukhya, who are against Krishna, you are doing a favor to them, because Maitreya Muni, you are going to all these places where sinful people are living and you are doing a anugraha, you are actually benefiting them, because these people, they will never come to hear the Supreme Personality's knowledge or his or the pastimes or his leela. So you are personally making that favor of going towards all the dharmic people and sharing this knowledge out. So the stage is set, right? Viduraji first, then Uddhavaji, and then Maitra Muni comes, and he's you can say, you know, he's sharing this amazing knowledge. This amazing conversation is happening in the third canto. So the stage is set. We have understood the background of the speaker, the background of the inquirer or the listener, and now let's delve into what the verse kind of like is speaking about. So because this work speaks about dissolution, so I just wanted to ask this question that Shri Shri Radha Kuklandaki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanumaniki, Gaurantayaki, Srila Prabhupadaki, Jai. So this verse speaks about dissolution, and in the start of the third canto, it also speaks about how the Yadavas or the Dwarka was dissoluted. All the Yadavas were actually annihilated. So is the Lord attached in any way to his family or family life or Dwarka? I just want to open up the floor here. Devotees can answer. Yes? So there's it says like after when he was following his family life in the third canto, third chapter 22, he says, Tasya evam ramamanasya grihamedeshu yogeshu viragaha samajayata. So the Lord was engaged in household life for many, many years, but at last his detachment from, you can say, grihamedeshu yogeshu, and he was viragaha. Viragaha means he fully detached himself or he fully renounced himself. So the Lord, even though he played a householder life, maintaining his family, but at the same time he actually took a back step. He actually renounced himself also. So what is the attitude of the Lord towards creation and destruction? Because this verse speaks a lot about creation and destruction of the whole material universe. So what is the, you can say, attitude or attachment of the Lord towards the creation and destruction of the whole universe? How does he, when the creation is happening, is he kind of like attached, like who are going to come? Or when dissolution is happening, is he angry or is he affected in some way? If the question, could put the question in a more subtle way, creation and destruction. Yes. Very good, Prabhu. Yeah. Yeah. And he, you know, when in the, you can say in the Dwarka Leela also, he was personally present. So in that case, or let's say a similar question was actually asked in the seventh canto also, as the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu is taking place. When he is, let's say, creating, or let's say, you know, the heavenly planets, Lord Indra is the heavenly king of the heavens, is he benefited? I'm not talking about devotees who are like proper bhaktas or proper devotion towards the Supreme Personality, but people more who are in a neutral state, or the demons who have enmity towards Lord Indra or the Supreme Personality himself. So if Indra is the planet of, you can say, is the king of the heavenly planets, is the Lord affected in any way whether Indra should actually stay on the heavenly planet or not? Does Lord want Indra to stay in the heavenly planet? That is my question.
Krishna will want Indra to return back to him. Mm-hmm. Because he's a part of Krishna.
Yeah.
As per his five priorities, it would be befitting. I mean, suitable for him to stay in the heavenly planet. That's okay.
A similar question was asked in the 7th canto, 1st chapter, 1st verse actually. It says, Sama priya suhrat brahman bhutanam bhagavam swayam indriyarthe katham daityan avadhit vishamo yataha. So, it says, Sama priya, the Supreme Personality is equal to everyone, right? He is equally disposed towards everyone. Suhrat, he is the benefactor, he is the Paramatma or the Super Soul within everybody's heart. Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam. So he's everyone's well-wisher, he's equal and extremely dear to everyone. But Indriyarthe Katham Daityan. Indriyarthe means for the purpose or can say for the benefit of Indra and the Daityan. Avadhit. Sometimes we see that he's killing the demons and sometimes he's favoring Indra. So why does this happen when we are saying that the Supreme Personality is Suhrid? He is present within everybody's heart. Samapriya, he is dear to everyone. But in some cases we see that he is actually kind of favoring. You know, like in Bali Maharaj's pastime also, he came as Vamanadev and he gave the kingdom back from Bali Maharaj back to Indra. So why in some cases when we say he is Suhrida and he is equally disposed to everyone, why does he favor Lord Indra in certain situations? Yes, Prabhu?
One of the answers is because the demigods are in the mode of goodness, and goodness prevails, that's the reason.
Yes, exactly. Prabhuji, I think he hit the nail. Exactly. As per the modes. So it says that Nahi asyartha suragane saksha nishreyatmanaha naiva surebhyo vidvesho nodvegas chan anukasyahi. So it says that the Supreme Personality himself, he is actually the reservoir of all the wealth, all the strength. So even if Lord Indra is actually the king of the heavenly planets, there's nothing which Lord Indra can give, because the Supreme Personality is the reservoir, right? He is the reservoir of all the wealth, all the strength. So there's nothing which Lord Indra can benefit the Supreme Personality. At the same time, it says that because the demons or the asuras are within the material realm, and the Supreme Personality is actually above the material realm. He is in this transcendental dham. So even if the demons have enmity or any kind of anger towards the Supreme Personality, they can't do anything, right? They can, because the Supreme Personality is above the material realm. So as Govinda Prabhu rightly pointed, the Supreme Personality has nothing to do with whether it's Lord Indra or whether it's a demon. And in some cases, we can see that even the asuras or the demons are actually ruling the heavenly planet. For example, Bali Maharaj, he allowed the situation to take place, right? If he was attached to Lord Indra being the only king, he would have never allowed Bali Maharaj to actually become, or you can say, take over the heavenly planet. So in some situation, he does allow the demons also to take place. So as Prabhuji rightly pointed, it's the modes. So when the modes of material nature, based on which kind of mode is active, or which kind of mode is prominent, those personalities are actually, you can say, getting benefited, or they are the one who are controlling the material universe. So there's a very interesting verse from the 7th canto, 1st chapter, 8th verse. It says, Jaya kale tu sattvasya devarishin rajayo suran tamaso yaksha rakshasmi tat kala anugho bhajat. So jaya kale tu sattvasya, whenever the mode of goodness is prevailing, that time all the devarshis are being benefited. So whenever there's the mode of goodness, the sattvic mode is actually prevalent, just like we speak about the first yuga, when this great sages and rishis are doing tapasya for thousands and thousands of years. So similarly, whenever the mode of goodness is prevalent, that time the Supreme Personality is actually benefiting, or he is supporting the Devrishis or all the sages. Rajaso Asuran. So whenever the mode of passion is prevalent, all the Asuras are being benefited. All the Asura, the word Asura actually means, Suran means followers or devotees, and Asuran means people who don't believe in the supremacy of the Supreme Personality. In the Bhagavad Gita that says, like, for them, it says that, oh, the material universe just was created out of chance. This is the only life. There's nothing to follow. Just enjoy as much as you can. Just conquer as much as you can. That is the Asura mentality. So when the mode of passion is prevalent, the Supreme Personality will actually go and support those kind of people who are in this mood of taking over, just take over everything, just get everything. And then the verse also says, Tamaso Yaksha Rakshasmi. So when the mode of ignorance is prevalent, that time all the Yakshas and Rakshasas, so we are in, you can say, please pardon me for saying this, but you can see in Kali Yuga also, we can see a similar trend. Of course, for 10,000 years, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu movement is actually spreading and it's going to glorify and save so many devotees. But you can just see that how, when the Kali Yuga comes, the modes, the tamogun or the mode of ignorance kind of take place. And you can see all the holy dhams are being kind of like taken over. Devotees are becoming very rare. And this this culture of you can say, how you see in out in the normal world, like just eat, make merry, enjoy life, that kind of culture is spreading more, and the Vaishnava culture or the devotional culture is kind of like going, you know, it's subtly getting covered, and as after the next 10,000 years, it's gonna become more and more rare. Even, I mean, we are so fortunate that in Bhaktivinoda manner we are speaking Bhagavatam every day. But just to hear the Bhagavatam, it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that wherever there is Bhagavatam being spoken, even the demigods, they are eager to hear. So Bhagavatam is just so rare. But as the Kali Yuga is progressing, we can see that slowly the spiritual knowledge or the spiritual culture is slowly subtly getting covered. So it's only because the mode of ignorance is getting more and more prevalent as the Kali Yuga is moving forward. But let's ask this question, that when we say the Supreme Personality is neutral, he is not favoring anyone, it's just the modes, and the modes actually cover or come through cycles of time, kala. So would you say that the modes are under time, so the Supreme Personality is also under the influence of time? No? Why? Exactly. Thank you, Mataji. Exactly. So, similarly, the 7th canto, 1st chapter, 11th verse, it says, Kalam Charantam Srijat Isha Ashrayam. So, Kalam Charantam means the time is moving, the time is rotating or is moving. Kalam Charantam Srijat Isha Ashrayam. That means under the influence of the Supreme Personality Himself. The time is moving under the influence of the Supreme Personality. It's a representation of a sankalpa, of a decision, and the time moves under the Supreme Personality, and under time, all the modes, they are also revolving. And based on which kind of mode is prevalent, the demigods or the rishis will progress. If it's a mode of passion, all the asuras will progress. Or if it's mode of ignorance, all the daityas, all the yakshas and rakshasas will progress. So when I was hearing this, you can say this very nice lecture, a very good analogy was given. It was given as if the Lord is Balavat, like the Lord is like a child. We normally see, sometimes we go on Harinams in places like Brighton or in India, when we have, you know, we see these rivers and oceans, and normally just on the banks of the rivers or the ocean you have sand. So you'll see children actually playing on the banks of the ocean or the banks of the river, and they will create these castles, right? Have you seen that? Creating castles. So you'll see that the children are very eager. They're very kind of like enthused to create the castles, like beautiful castles. And when you go, you'll ask them, okay, what is this? Oh, this is the living room. This is the bedroom. This is the play area. This is where I park my car. So they will all give all these like elaborate, you know, elaborate answers that, okay, planning, like I've put my room here. I'm going to put my bed here and everything. And as soon as you can say the playtime is over, or let's say the family has to go back, you'll see the same child jumping upon the sandcastle, right? What he created, what he dwelled in, what he planned for such a long time, the same child, he will jump on the castle and he will just like squash with his feet. And that's it. The sandcastle is gone and he will just go back to his home. So it says, it's a very similar mood that the Supreme Personality, he will create and he will dissolute. For him, it's like a child who is creating as per the time. But as a child is not attached to the sandcastle which he's creating, and the same enthusiasm which he created the sandcastle, he will destroy the sandcastle. Similarly, the Supreme Personality, as per the modes, he is creating the material universe, he is maintaining it, and when the right time comes, when the mode of ignorance becomes prevalent, the same Supreme Personality will enthuse his energies, or he will empower his energies, which will factor or which will result in the dissolution of the material universe as well. So for him, he's neutral and just based on the modes. And of course, this, when I share this, it doesn't apply to the devotees, because devotees are always under the shelter, right? Supreme Personality is speaking that yada yada hi dharmasya glanirbhavati bharata, or you can say whenever there is a decline of religion, or whenever paritrana sadhunam, whenever my saintly personalities are being hurt or being affected, I personally come to save them. So these principles, they don't apply to devotees who are following devotional life or Vaishnavas, but people who are neutral, because the Supreme Personality is present as Paramatma within their heart also. So people who are neutral or who have enmity, or Lord Indra who is actually given the task or the responsibility to actually rule the heavenly planet, for these people the Supreme Personality is neutral. He is for all the whether it's a demon or an asura or the demigods, he is equally disposed towards all of them. And just based on the factor of time and what kind of modes are active, he will actually favor those kind of personalities. So I'll end here. Any questions, any feedbacks? Okay, thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ita Gaura Premanande.